Welcome to the Water Tower Hour. I am your host, Tim Regan, Head of Business Development at Water Tower Research. In today's special episode, we're going to talk about the cannabis industry and the recent Benzinga Market Spotlight California Cannabis event, which took place on February 22nd in LA. You can learn more about Benzinga and all of their events at benzinga.com. To dive into the event and the sector, I'm joined by my co-host and Head of Cannabis and Natural Products at Water Tower Research, Jesse Redmond. Jesse, good to see you.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be back. I always enjoy being on the show.
We also have Elliot Lane, Senior Vice President of Event Partnerships at Benzinga. Elliot, appreciate you joining the show today.
What's up, gents? Thanks for having me on the Water Tower Hour. I'm pumped.
I know. Yeah, it's good to have you here, man. Elliot, I think maybe it'd be helpful for our audience, maybe start by telling us a little bit more about yourself. Who is Benzinga and the role you guys play in the cannabis industry?
So Benzinga is a financial media organization. We are size-wise, in terms of readership, a top 20 financial media outlet in the U.S. We drive content centered around the economy, stock markets, Elon Musk, cannabis, crypto, psychedelics, everywhere in between. To our site, of course, Benzinga.com, but we also are a major player in terms of individual investors seeing our news through retail brokerages such as Webull, Robinhood, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, TradeStation. I mean, you name the retail brokerage, we probably have some sort of data that flows into them. We have always been and always will be a safe space for emerging markets. So as I mentioned earlier, cannabis, crypto, fintech, psychedelics are just a few. Post-COVID and during the crypto boom, we were a major destination for people trying to learn about Bitcoin and Ethereum. During the green rush pre-COVID, we were absolutely a destination for cannabis investors. And I think we still are, I believe to this day, we still hold the largest active publication globally for cannabis news. We drive, I think, around 10 to 15 million readers a year on cannabis articles. So that is our ethos. It is the backbone of everything we do. We speak to the individual in democratizing that institutional investor education and information and giving them the opportunity to grow their own wealth. And cannabis is a very central part of that. So we also host events. We work with a lot of those leading major public companies, to the leading major private companies, to the investors institutionally, to the analysts, to the big CPG brands and CPG thought leaders. And we bring them together in 2,000 to 3,000 person events, historically called the Cannabis Capital Conference Series twice a year, Florida in April. It'll be in Illinois in October. But those events tend to be incredible places to connect with other decision makers. So all in all, we're all about getting business done, helping businesses move forward, giving them a platform to communicate who they are and what they are trying to do to investors and to the public at large.
That's great. It's awesome. I think you guys have one of the best destination platforms for financial information. It's wonderful to go through the articles and, kind of the wonderful broadcast network you guys have put together there.
Thanks. We need our partners. I'll say that. And Water Tower is a great one.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the plug. So let's talk about the event. So this is your first regional event. Why did you guys choose California? And do you guys have any other regional events planned in the future?
So when it comes to Benzinga, every company has room for growth, including us. So we look at the U.S. market, the U.S. markets. There's a lot of different markets in this country for the cannabis industry. And we wanted to create a space that offered a more direct relationship to each market. California, we've always had people ask, when are you going to go to California? When are you going to come to the West Coast? Why don't you go to San Diego? What's in Los Angeles? What about Denver? It's always been in the back of our mind to have a California event, but coming up with this idea to take our network and our event planning, experience on the road a little bit more, California was an easy choice. And also, while it may be going through tough times right now, we fully believe it will be one of the biggest winners down the road in the future of cannabis. So seeing who's playing a part in that right now, whose businesses are growing, because believe it or not, there are businesses that are growing in the California cannabis industry. I think it's important to highlight those. It's not, you don't, to paint markets with such a broad black and white brush, I think is dangerous, because there are some really cool up and coming businesses and established businesses in California. There are some businesses in California that won't make it to next year. And I think you can say that about every market. Now, California has a very loud, outspoken issues, that we can discuss as well. But ultimately, I think giving a platform to those businesses who will compete in the broader landscape down the road was a big goal of ours.
Yeah, it was a dense day, Elliot. There's a number of sessions, a lot of great guests. I went to a dinner event with the folks from Timeless, which I didn't even know before. Mm-hmm. And, great vape company that's getting some traction in California. Mm-hmm. Spoke with the people from Kana, the edibles business, quite a bit. And, they're doing really well. Always impressed by the quality of the products in California. And I'm not biased just because I'm in California. I live in Santa Barbara. But just, there's such a strong legacy to California cannabis. And I think in terms of the quality of things and the innovation going on in California, I think it really continues to be second to none. So I was impressed by seeing some of the brands, especially the legacy, the legacy operators that participated. I thought the passion was really there. I'm curious, what did you take away from the event?
It's a dual-sided coin for me. When I look at the findings of our California event, I think there's excitement for what can be the California market. But on the other side of that coin, I think there's tension in the market. I think there is, I don't want to say fear. I think these people are very ready to fight for their businesses. They're ready to fight for a great market. They're ready to fight for the legacy side of the market to come over to the legal side of the cannabis industry. I think there's a lot of things that the industry itself is ready for. But I think there are hurdles. We actually had a presentation from the UCBA. I hope people will go back and watch. It was Jonathan Svetko, and he gave a really, really interesting discussion for basically how there are normally like 30, 40 bills for cannabis that are proposed, go through the process each year in California. I think he said this year there's like 11. So I think there's the tension comes from exhaustion. Yeah. The tension comes from a constant uphill battle and figuring out who is running the race correctly. As subjective as that sounds, there are people who feel you're not doing this the right way. And there's a lot of internal struggles such as that. But I think on the other side of the coin, you look at companies like Kana and Timeless, and on the retail side, Embark, Sweet Flower, Leaf Brands, you spoke with at the event, Jesse. I think there are some companies out there that are worth highlighting and saying, hey, look at what they're doing. Look at how they're prioritizing the consumer, how they're listening to the consumer, how they're listening to their employee and building a business the right way. And those were the strategies we want to highlight in these regional events. How can you navigate these regulations that are so specific to your state markets and create a good business without relying on something happening on the federal side? Because ultimately, I think hopefully we've all learned at this point, if you are building your business in the hopes that rescheduling comes down the pipeline or something through Congress, we're just getting ourselves up for disappointment and perhaps even receivership, unfortunately. So we wanted to put something out there that says, hey, you can run a good business now.
Yeah, you can run a good business. And what's frustrating to me, Elliot, is I see people running great businesses in California, but when you layer on the federal hurdles with the state hurdles, you can be a great operator. But if you don't have certain low cost advantages, you're not vertical enough, you don't have enough scale, you can do a great job running the business, but it's almost a system. I don't know if it's intentionally designed to fail, but it's a system that looks like it's designed to fail. And what I mean there is on the federal level, a lot of businesses are paying roughly twice as much as they should if they were a normal business because of the 280E tax. You go to California and say, okay, what are the challenges here? Well, we have the federal challenges, but we also, when I buy $100 worth of cannabis in Santa Barbara, Elliot, it's $133 out the door. And that doesn't count the taxes that were baked in before the retail level. So 33% just between the excise tax, sales tax, and the local taxes. So that's a huge challenge when competing with the traditional market. Another huge challenge is the lack of access. And so Hirsch Jane was there, and Hirsch is great at knowing the numbers of dispensaries in California. And so I got an update with him, and it's about 1,250 dispensaries in California. Do you know, Elliot, how many liquor stores we have in California?
I would imagine it's more.
10 times as much, 12,000. During the medical days, when I used to run a collective in California, there were about 10,000 stores or delivery businesses, not as much retail back then. And for a healthy California, we need something like 4,000 to 5,000 stores is kind of the consensus there. So you take, okay, we have 280E, which is super hard. Layer on top of that, we have crazy taxes in California, which is just kind of how we do things. But we also tack on the extra 15% excise tax in California. Plus, every city and county can decide if they want cannabis or not. So you have big ones like the Marina Del Rey's, the Manhattan Beaches, the Hermosa Beaches that say, I don't want cannabis at all. So there's no access points there. So it's underserved from a retail perspective. So I sense part of the frustration, Elliot, is that, hey, I'm making a great product. Look at my edibles. They're awesome. They're innovative. We have effects-based things. We have solventless things. We're doing the nano-emulsion technology. We're doing everything we can to make great products. But in a system where there's not enough distribution and such high taxes, I think it's hard for some of those smaller operators to compete.
Not to mention probably all they're paying for their tech stacks.
True.
Right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think you can understate that or overstate that enough. And no intention to understate it on my side. I think when I look at the cannabis industry, you know, all you say is true, Jesse, but you know, at the end of the day, there will be businesses that make it through.
Yes.
And it's not my goal to sunshine pump at all. It's not my goal to doom and gloom at all, you know, but I do think finding that platform, you know, where you can learn strategies, that's my goal, where you can understand how to perhaps, you know, uniquely, smartly manage the liquid side of your business is my goal. And, you know, there's a reason I'm not up there teaching, right? There's a reason, you know, we prioritize businesses who are growing to speak on our stage. Is so that they can tell our audience how that's happening. How are you doing it? And it may be because they've already reached a certain threshold, as you mentioned. But past that, I mean, there's got to be ways that it is transferable information from company to company. And I think overall, why else do you attend events if you can't leave with some sort of value for your own business?
Is there a particular operator or presenter at the conference, Elliot, that stood out in terms of you feel like this one is either having some success now because of what they're doing, or you think moving forward, they have a particularly great opportunity?
There were several people that I very much enjoyed speaking to pre-event. I'll say that. I really loved my conversations with Lauren Carpenter from Embark. I think what she's doing with her dispensary chain was super, super encouraging. I'm a big fan of some of the brands we had there. Tiffany Chin might be one of my favorite people that I've spoken to, who runs Snoop Dogg's cannabis and hemp side. You know, I think I don't want to just go through and name everybody, but I think there were some great PR leaders, thinking like a Ricardo Baca, Kit Morrison was there. You know, you mentioned Josh from Timeless. I also think of Erin Gore from Garden Society, who's successfully grown her edibles brand from California into other markets. You know, and I think we had discussions around hemp as well, right? You know, in terms of, you know, some people left with the impression it's not going to do much, right? It's not going to be a big player. Others, you know, are still pushing back on that. We had some great influencer discussions. How do you actually market, you know, through social media?
Yeah.
With Alice Moon and Steve Council, you know, I think two very respected voices in that space. Media wise, you know, you think of Beard Bros and Respect My Region.
I love those guys. Yeah. I love legacy. And those guys are just so authentic, you know, a great follow on social media.
So when I think of businesses, I'm not just talking, and, you know, granted, a lot of the issues you speak about are for plant touching companies. And of course, we're prioritizing that. But when I think of how to build your business correctly and the right partners to get out there with, that's also important for me. You know, so thinking of the Beard Bros and the the Alice Moons, the Joey Brabos, you know, the you Water Tower, you know, those are also always parts of our industry as well. And, you know, I think we had a great discussion that included, what do you do with AI? You know, toward the end of the day, it wasn't just around AI. It was quite a bit around the California market, but with Wendy Berger, Alexa, Alianello, and Emily Paxia. You know, so, you know, past that, I also really enjoyed hearing from Ford Smith, Ultra Native. I don't know. I could run through the entire list for you here, but I would say if I'm looking at a company from this, it's probably Lauren from Embark. I'm going to keep an eye on her. Leaf Brands, I'm super interested in to see what they do with the year ahead as well.
Yeah, when I look at California, Elliott, the businesses I'm seeing succeed have usually one or several of these traits. So I think being low cost is super helpful. And that's if you look at Glasshouse Brands, they're clearly one of the standouts in California. Low cost of goods sold, affordable greenhouse flower, beautiful facility in Camarillo, well-capitalized business. So they were able to handle some adversity up front. And that's starting to really pay off now as others are cutting back on canopy, they're expanding. So I think they're an example of low cost and scale being really helpful. I think the other one, Elliott, that interests me a lot is Gold Flora, which is someone that we just started working with. And Gold Flora is nailing the vertical side. And the reason vertical is important is because in California, margins are so low because there's competition, because of the taxes. You know, cannabis is fairly cheap here. There's a lot of built-in taxes to it. So margins tend to be really low. So if you want to increase your margins, one of the ways to do that is to get really vertical. And so they have large indoor cultivation, whereas Glasshouse is greenhouse cultivation. They have, you know, I think 17 dispensary licenses. I think 15 or 16 of those are open. They have a strong suite of brands. They even have a distribution business. And so Mark from Gold Flora was on a panel, and I was talking to him at dinner the night before. And I think they're somebody who, you know, is cleaning up, you know, some of the, or what did I say, learning from the mistakes of the parent company.
I think both are accurate, yeah. to be fair. I think what Lori's done pre-merger was super impressive when Gold Flora was private. You know, I think the parent company, with a lot of hopes that fell through in terms of what that company was meant to be. But if I have confidence in any executive just coming in and cutting through the BS, it'd be a Lori Holcomb, you know, and I think Mark Russ is an excellent part of her team, Chris Lane from Airfield Supply. I mean, that she's really built people who know that market. And I completely agree with you that that's for sure one to watch. And Glasshouse, for me, goes without saying. I probably should have mentioned them in companies to watch, but you know, per Seth Yakutan, they are the future winner of the market. So definitely should have mentioned them.
Yeah. And Glasshouse is really interesting because one of the potential things in California is interstate commerce, right? And same thing for Leaf Brands, which is a large producer of extracts. They focus on things like dabs you get in jars, big in the vape cart business as well, in the edibles business, selling a bit of flower. They're really interesting. We also just recently started working with them, and they're planting that new farm about an hour and a half from Santa Barbara. It's in Santa Barbara County. And that's going to be as big as 8 million square feet when it's fully planted. A little bit of hoop houses, mainly outdoor. But what's interesting there is it's going to create a bunch of new genetics, going to improve the quality of the products, but also getting more verticals, going to really enhance their margins. Because now, rather than sourcing flower for their extracts, they're going to grow the flower for their extracts. That's being planted right now. First harvest this fall, starts going into the products in Q4, and then early next year. So yeah, I think Leaf is a super interesting one to watch. They have a great dispensary in Palm Desert. I'm looking forward to checking out as well. That's called the Leaf. So yeah, even just talking through a little bit, Elliott, I get excited. It's such a, I think that's the juxtaposition. There's so much cool stuff going on at the company level. You just have this overhang of the regulatory architecture that makes it difficult even for these great businesses to excel. So it'd be awesome if we could get a little bit of cooperation from the state, especially on the tax side, to help make these businesses, you know, the great ones, be able to survive and be profitable.
You know, and I think because of that, we'll be back sooner rather than later to the California market. You know, I think, you know, we packed out the venue. There was so much interest. And I think that's also something we look at when it comes to the mood, the sentiment of the space, you know, is people want to do business. People want to learn how to better their business day in and day out, how they can, you know, continue to grow and partner with the right people. And I think next time, as we look to do this again, whether it's 24 or 2025, I think we are looking at, you know, grabbing the CDTFA grabbing somebody who can answer some questions, who can not, and our goal is not to jeer, not to put people under fire for any current or any past decisions, but for them to understand that this is a legitimate market. There's a lot of growth to be had here when you don't hamstring us.
Right. And with that market also going into the Florida market for the next one, Jesse and I are looking forward to sponsoring your upcoming Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, taking place in Florida on April 16th and 17th. Looking out to that one, how's it shaping up so far?
Great. I'm going to say that, right?
Terrible.
Yeah. Horrible. No, it's honestly, I'm very excited for this. We're being more pointed in our content than we have in the past. We're really, I would say, narrowing down who speaks at our events to those who are market movers, to those that, we don't normally hear from. We're very passionate about making sure we have diverse opinions, diverse perspectives. And for us, you will see the MSOs, we'll say the corporate side of this industry on our stage, from Boris and Kim to Verano, to Cresco, to Tilt Holdings, to perhaps like Jushi and Forefront, right? And to the Canadian side, High Tide, perhaps Aurora, so we'll have that side. But we'll also be bringing in, people like maybe like an Edie Parker, I think a really cool brand out of New York, Motif Labs, the leading vape brand out of Canada. People we haven't heard from, we're talking to several Midwestern companies. There's a smaller multi-door shop, multi-door chain up in Michigan, that's going to be speaking at our event, right? So we want to cover the gamut. When it comes to plant touching companies, when it comes to, non plant touching companies, I want to highlight some of these businesses that are kicking butt. I was about to say the other word, but I don't know how family friendly we are on this podcast. thinking like a Harris Supply, I mean, 4,000 employees and growing. I mean, they are dominating the pre-roll cone space and the data that they can provide to consumer insights. And the like, I'm very excited for what we're looking at there. We'll have Gloria Govan. If you don't know her, she'll have Relentless Brand. She's an investment fund manager, but just look her up. She's going to chat CPG trends. We're going to talk hemp-derived cannabinoids and some leaders in that space, from MC Nutraceuticals to Jones Soda and Cheech and Chong and Cycling Frog on the beverage side. We'll have the Hemp Beverage Alliance and the Cannabis Beverage Association both present. We're talking these product categories, we're talking hospitality, and what that actually looks like. Do alcohol and hospitality need to hold each other up a little bit as we move forward? Alcohol being beverage, sorry, that was a misnomer. Beverage and hospitality need to hold each other up in the cannabis space. So ultimately, you're going to see a lot of major players in the cannabis space, but you're going to see a lot of new perspectives in the space as well. We have some cool experiences coming your way as well. So if you're not signed up on our list, please do. bzcannabis.com. You can, reach out. You can check, apply to speak, apply to sponsor, apply to get on our event newsletter list, all of the above. But, ultimately, you'll see capital markets minds like you, Jesse. You'll see capital markets minds like Tim Seymour and Pablo Zwanich and Aaron Gray, and Jim Kirsch, right? We'll see people who are actually deploying money are going to be there. It's super exciting. The Luminous Capitals of the world, to WGD, to a few others who are actually putting money into the space right now, or are looking to put money into the space. And I think ultimately, I'll wrap with this before I, talk people's ears off. We are a B2B conference with a financial through line. We're an industry event that hosts one of the most, if not the most, amount of investors event over event. And we are seeing investors come with dry powder more so than we have the past year and a half to 2 years. Now, will they deploy? Obviously, we can guarantee nothing. It's totally up to you guys to have that conversation with them. But we're seeing investors say, hey, we're looking. And that is something we didn't see last year.
It's exciting. We want to see the capital get deployed just as much as everyone else does. So another great event to look forward to. So thank you again, Elliot, for joining us today. And Jesse, thank you for being here as well. Special thanks to the producers and editors of the podcast, Nick Ford and Mohammed Dabdoud. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you all next week.
The views expressed in this podcast may not necessarily reflect the views of Water Tower Research, LLC, aka WTR, and are provided for informational purposes only. The Water Tower Hour may not be distributed or reproduced without written consent of Water Tower Research and should not be considered research nor recommendation. WTR is an investor relations firm, not a licensed broker, broker-dealer, market maker, investment bank, underwriter, or investment advisor. Additional disclaimers can be found at watertowerresearch.com.